It's the Misdeeds and Intrigue podcast, featuring stories of royals, scandals, and true crime. Here are your hosts, Carrie and Larissa.
Hey, so this is a new episode series. Just short little sips, shots, or whatever your fancy is. And I normally won't be doing intros on these, but I thought I should set this one up because it is kind of new. Otherwise, you might just jump in and be like, who is this that I'm talking to? The intention is to just chat about something that's interesting. So for instance, I have like a whole list of topics from what did Bobby Brown, you know, that cherry pie girl, say about Leo DiCaprio when they hooked up, or how she set a fire in Kevin Costner's bedroom, or missing people that we just don't have a lot of info on, but I want to feature it. Old Hollywood scandals. Basically just topics we just don't have a lot of information on to make a whole episode, or we just want to get down to the dirty. This is the first one. It's about Lenny Bruce's untimely death. And as always, find me at SipShinePod on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And I want to let you know who my guest co-host is. I haven't had her on the show before. She is coming on the upcoming episode. I have about 10 stacked up, so I'm trying to get them out more than just once a week. But Shannon is from the podcast, Shannon and Everybody's Business. Join Shannon on her journey to find purpose and inspiration in life. And she also does some fun trash talking about reality TV, because where else do we get inspiration from, what not to do? And you can find her Instagram at Shannon and Everybody's Business.
But first, champagne.
I am so happy that you're coming on my very first Siptini. And I probably was your very first guest co-host, so now you get to be my very first Siptini. I have Shannon here from Shannon and Everybody's Business. Hi. AKA Shannon figuring her stuff out.
I'm a hot mess trying to figure my stuff out.
I didn't even curse there. You're changing me as a Southern woman.
That is so funny. No, listen. I'm going to be very honest about that, and you can cut this part out if you want. Mm-hmm. I know this isn't right, but I have like the mouth of a sailor, and I cuss, and I cuss in front of my kids, and I'm bad about it, and I'm trying to be better, but my mom is going to listen, and my mom still scares me.
No.
So I told her I wouldn't cuss on the shows, but I'm probably going to end up doing, because that's just my natural tendency is to cuss. And my kids get on to me, which is terrible. I'm a terrible parent. But that is, so I'm just being honest, that is where I'm at right now.
I asked you to come on because I wanted to talk to somebody who likes the marvelous Mrs. Maisel like I did. Because yes, the very first scene that I saw the character Lenny Bruce, I had such a crush on that actor. He is bringing so some sexy. Cute.
He's so cute.
Holy shit.
What?
The best comedian, I mean the best fucking comedian in the business is right over there.
Where?
You're the girl from the Gaslight gig, right?
Lenny?
Lenny Bruce's girl.
Really? Lenny? Like, you know him?
Oh, I'm not his girl, just his friend.
You're not Susie.
You're not my wife.
Nope.
Did I know you were coming tonight? So my wife
bailed me out.
Does he know?
Know what?
That you've been corrupted.
Lady. I'm pretty good for my first night of freedom. And I understand now.
It's nice to see you.
He actually looks a little like him, too.
He does. And I did the research on it, and he said that when he was growing up, that his uncle had like this old biography in his attic, and he thought at some point he would play that character.
Oh my gosh, that's weird. That's cool. Yeah. They do look like each other a lot, and he's super cute.
He's so super cute. And I just like his confidence in it, and like,
yeah, very,
just the way
confident
he plays it. Yeah. Leonard, so we're going to talk about how Lenny Bruce, the real Lenny Bruce, how he died, because the way he comes across in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, he like has his stuff together. He has his shit together.
Yeah, he's very confident. It seems like he knows it all. He's got it together.
Mm-hmm. So Leonard Alfred Schneider, or Lenny Bruce, was an American stand-up comedian, social critic, and satirist. How do you say that word?
Because I'm really bad at pronunciation. Satirist? Oh, yeah, that's satirist. How do you say that?
You've read that, like, satire is the
original. Right, so would it be satirist?
I think so. But I'm like the kind of person where I can read it, but I don't always have the best pronunciation.
Right, right.
But I know what it means.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Luke Kirby is the guy who plays the guy on Marvelous Missile Maisel. Mm-hmm. Been channeling this figure on the series, and in the role he plays kind of like a fairy godmother to the aspiring comedian Midge, and right. She's kind of based on Joan Rivers supposedly. So if you remember, she meets Lenny Bruce, mm-hmm. and he was also arrested for obscenity in his act, and right. then their friendship and their paths kind of cross as they go. He was one of the only people on the show that it was actually like his name that he was playing a real person,
like a real person.
Yeah. One of the sexiest scenes I find is when, do you remember when he's walking down the stairs at the New York
yes.
police station? Do you remember that?
Yes. He's so cute. He's super cute.
Right? He was cute. So, and I'm not like, it's been a long time since I've been a crusher, and I just like had a crush, right. you know. I think really, even the colonel yeah. was crushing on him because of the confidence. His wife was picking him up, who, if you remember, she went to the wrong one. So you right. can tell it's like the usual routine. And which is true of Lenny Bruce, because he did have a lot of time in the jail because pushing comedy limits. And so what I didn't realize is that his wife was Honey Harlow, a stripper he'd met in Arkansas in 51. So supposedly he was very obsessed with her, and he mm-hmm. wanted to get her off the pole. Like,
oh,
Chris Rock
gosh.
Said, get her off the pole. Yeah. So he convinced her to give up her work when they got married. And so she did pick up a burlesque show later. And mm-hmm. Lenny Bruce actually perfected his craft as being the master of ceremonies at strip clubs, which I think is just amazing. Like, I had an ex-boyfriend who used to be able to do that whole scheme. And then right. like, I'm not even going to say who he was, because he did make the news at one point, but in not a proud way, but he was like, Good Morning America. Like, I had warned him, you're going to hit rock bottom, but I didn't realize it was like Good Morning America rock bottom. But right. he would do the whole, like, now this one on the main stage. I can't even do it like he does. Oh, but it is a true skill when you can be the MC at strip clubs.
That's funny. Oh, my goodness.
So you're like, my mom cannot listen to this episode.
No, I don't care. It's fine. I'm kidding.
So they would have a daughter, Kitty, in 1955. I don't know why that name is really funny to me in the context. But
Kitty is it's a terrible name to name your daughter when yeah. the mom is a stripper.
Yeah. So, and then he ended up having an affair late in the 50s with a jazz singer, Annie Ross, who I'm not even sure who that is. And I did Mm-mm. enjoy music from that time period. So they ended up getting a divorce in 59. So before his comedy career, he was in the Navy on the USS Brooklyn. And in 45, he had a comedy performance for his shipmates. And he was in drag, you know, and he was like cracking them up, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about the military, about previous time periods, even when I first joined, that was kind of a big no-no.
Right, right.
And so his commanding officers were upset. And in defiance, he told the ship's medical officer that he was having homosexual urges. So he would have an undesirable discharge in July of 45. And he later, which I find really interesting for being such mm-hmm. a rogue or a renegade,
right.
he actually went to the trouble of fighting the discharge.
Yeah.
Because he never admitted or been found guilty to have been violating any Navy regulations.
Right.
So he had the discharge changed to under honorable conditions.
That's interesting.
By reason of unsuitability for the naval service, which is a way that they used to like discharge mm-hmm. people. But I just find it really interesting. Like, he stuck it to the man, but then he's like, no, you're going to correct this too.
Right. Like, you know? It really was important to him when generally, it seems like his attitude is, whatever.
Yeah. In 61, he was charged with violating the obscenity law in California at San Francisco's jazz workshop. He said the word for a male rooster. Male rooster.
Male rooster.
Yeah. Sucker. If you can put that together. Like, I think there used to be an old game show where you'd have to pick out, like, there'd be a picture of the eye. Like, you'd have to do, like, the little puzzle, like, what it means.
Figure it out, so, audience.
Yeah, exactly. So he would also be arrested on stage in Chicago. In 62, he was barred from reentering England for the sake of public interest, which I love that. For the sake of public interest, yeah. You're not allowed in England.
All of England.
Yeah. So when he did a controversy, and their sense of humor over there can be pretty dirty.
Yeah.
Because he had a he had a controversial showing at Peter Cook's London club called The Establishment. And so in 64, he was arrested with two club owners after he did an obscenity-laden set at Cafe O'Gogo. So I wonder if that's like the original Club Go-Go.
Right, right.
Okay. And there was so many more arrests on his rap sheet. And before his arrest in New York, he said, if I get busted in New York, the freest city in the world, that will be the end of my career. Your turn.
All right. In 1951, he was arrested for impersonating a priest, the Brother Matthias Foundation scam. He had been soliciting donations for a leper colony in, oh Lord, Guyana?
I don't know why I find this so funny.
In order to keep his wife off the pole. That's the best part.
Do you know what Guyana is? That's no. Where I believe is where the Jonestown was and where they committed suicide.
Okay. So he was out soliciting donations for some leper colony that maybe didn't exist. I don't know.
He should have just told them, I want to keep my wife off the pole. That's all he should have said.
Give me
he
money. Didn't need to go to that
extent. Yeah.
Keep my wife off the pole. That's very, that's funny. Obviously, after so many arrests, this impacted him financially. He also was further blacklisted by many clubs. When that arrest finally happened in New York, it broke him. That's interesting. He just seems like he wouldn't care. The Criminal Trial Court of New York City found him guilty of obscenity. That's really funny to me because nowadays, who cares, right?
I know. Like back then, you couldn't even say that kind of stuff. Like the comedy stage was the stage of free speech. You know what I mean? Like you could say anything.
Right. That's really, really crazy. His drug use increased, especially heroin. Oh, that's terrible. He would get on stage at that point, and his friend Charles Merowitz described unbearable routines filled with self-conscious poetry about Adolf Eichmann and the injustices of the American judicial system. So what does that mean? Like he just probably got on stage and just ranted. You think?
Yeah, that's what I think. And I think you would have lost me too. And I just recently listened to a podcast about, it was called Morbidity.
Yeah.
And it had a guy on there that made his whole act by impersonating Jack Kennedy. And when Jack Kennedy died, it killed his whole routine.
Oh.
And for some reason, it just kind of reminds me of him.
Right.
Maybe because it was like based on political and then. I don't know why there's a parallel in my head there, but there is. I just haven't figured out the connection.
Yeah. No, I get it. So then sad, at the age of 40, which is my age, Lenny Bruce would die at his home in the Hollywood Hills in 1966. The death was listed as overdose. That is just heartbreaking because he just seemed like he had such talent. If he could have just pushed a little further, you know, all the laws were going to change. He was found dead in the bathroom. The photos of the scene showed him bearded, lying naked on the floor, a syringe and a burned bottle cap nearby. Oh, it's devastating.
Apparently in 66, bearded is like a big thing. Because
that's a terrible thing, evidently. It sounds very salacious.
I know. They made like a bearded, point of saying it. Naked. Yeah, can you imagine?
Can you even imagine?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, gosh. There were other narcotics paraphernalia nearby. Phil Spector, the record producer who was later charged with murder in another case. God, who were these people? Had bought the negatives to keep them from the press. That's very nice of him, though.
First of all, I'm going to tell you, I was very ignorant and I didn't realize in 66 people were shooting themselves up. I thought syringes were more of like 80s and beyond.
I actually, now that you say that, yeah. I wouldn't have thought that would have been a thing at that time either.
And Phil Spector, do you remember the case of the crazy guy who was up in the hills with like the weird wigs or curly hair?
Yes.
And he had the hostess come over and he shot her in the mouth.
Ew.
That's him.
Oh, wow. Gosh. And that was his, who was this? That was his record producer. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So wait, he bought the negatives to keep them from the press. However, they got out, right? I mean, obviously, if we know about it.
Yeah. But I just think it's such a small world that who would have known at that time he'd later on go to jail for, like, killing somebody. Something so weird. And he's a very, very weird dude.
Yeah. I don't like it. Okay. After death, the police stopped prosecuting comedians for obscene language. It became the free speech zone on the stage. And on December 23rd, 2003, 37 years after his death, New York Governor George Pataki granted him a posthumous pardon for his obscenity conviction. And this was actually lobbied by his ex-wife.
I went to school with Emily Pataki. I knew the governor.
Oh, cool.
And I've been to their house and did the whole thing.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, I had no idea that he would end up becoming governor. It was back when he was like
right
representative or something like that.
Oh, that's interesting.
So and I think at one point you talked about running for president, but I'm like, mm-hmm. which by the way, I never could be the daughter or wife because I feel like too much dirt would come out about
me. Lord, no, that I could never. Nobody in my family could run for anything ever. We are all messes.
Oh. Yeah, that's why I was like looking at that. I'm like, I hope just by me going to school with his daughter did not bring down his presidential campaign.
Be like, now we see that Carrie was a friend of your daughter. And this is what we found.
I'm going to paraphrase the next part. Yeah. And so basically, there was a memoir called How to Talk Dirty and Influence People that Lenny Bruce actually wrote. And the theater critic, Kenneth Tynan, he wrote that the thing is about him is that he did say things that were shocking, but mm-hmm. part of his purpose was to force us to redefine what we mean by being shocked. And the point about Bruce is that he wants us to be shocked, but by the right things, not by four-letter words, which violate human convention, by want and deprivation, which violate human dignity.
That's the truth.
He saw his comedy as having something, a purpose beyond the laughs. The laughs were a means to an end, but the end's in the revelation. What I feel like is that he was probably one of the first political, like, what's the guy that does those shows? The ones that used to be on HBO late night?
I can't remember.
Bill Maher.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he was, like, probably one of the first original, and he's the one that braved them to have freedom of speech in the comedy world.
Right.
To get on stage and be able to express yourself.
Yeah.
So he was a true pioneer in the world.
He really was.
And whoever plays him in movies evidently is really hot.
Yeah. Oh, God. He's super cute. I looked him up today. I was like, oh, my goodness.
So thank you for coming on into my very first Septini. And where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram at Shannon and Everybody's Business and on Facebook at Shannon and Everybody's Business Podcast. I'm working on Twitter. I'll learn it. And thank you for having me on. It's been a lot of fun.
No, thank you.
Chill, darling.
Still too early to go to Tiffany's. I guess the next best thing is a drink.
I will never be the woman with the perfect hair who can wear white and not spill on it.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Three, name your favorite dinosaur. Don't even think about it. Just name it. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Hey, it's me again, and you thought you probably had enough of my voice by now. Just a quick reminder to find us and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Miss Intrigue Pod. Follow us on Pinterest and Flipboard, where we collect featured stories from across the internet of royalty, chronicles of interesting events in history, and of course, true crime. Lastly, check out our YouTube channel because everyone has one, right? That features playlist of documentaries and other related segments from our podcast topics. And if you want to hit us up, check out misdeedsandintriguepodcast.com. But we don't have a complaints department, just to give you a little heads up. The podcaster or authors assumes no responsibility or liability for any errors or omissions in the content of this podcast. The information contained on this podcast is an as-is basis with no guarantees of completeness, accuracy, usefulness, or timeliness. A reasonable amount of effort was made to deliver precise data. All views expressed by the podcast hosts or guests co-hosts are their own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of any entity whatsoever with which Carrie, Misdeeds or Intrigue Podcast, or Larissa have been, am now, or will be affiliated. The content of this podcast is for personal, informational, and entertainment purposes only and is not to be viewed for commercial use. Misdeeds and Intrigue Podcast respects the intellectual property of others. Any audio clips that were not generated by the podcast host or producer was pulled from the public domain, free use sites, and/or from YouTube or other authorized sites to gather information. The utmost effort was made to credit the author and or production. If at any time you feel that copyright was infringed, please email Carrie at misdeedsandintriguepodcast.com and immediate action will be taken to remove the audio clips that were present for entertainment purposes only.